A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as your fellow workers, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In an acceptable time I heard you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We cause no one to stumble in anything, in order that no fault may be found with our ministry. On the contrary, in everything we commend ourselves as ministers of God, through much endurance, in afflictions, hardships, constraints, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, vigils, fasts, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unfeigned love, in truthful speech, in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness at the right and at the left, through glory and dishonor, insult and praise. We are treated as deceivers and yet are truthful, as unrecognized and yet acknowledged, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." The word of the Lord. Some of you, perhaps many of you, have heard of Eckhart Tolle and his first book entitled The Power of Now. Some of you may think that it's too much of a fad or even too much of the New Age to emphasize that sense of presence, living in the present, living in the now, the power of living in the present, the power of now. And yet it's very striking that as we read this second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, he talks about the power of now himself, perhaps in a somewhat different way, but now is the time. Now is a very acceptable time, he says. Now is the day of salvation. How are we to understand that as Christians? It's not as if the past is irrelevant. Certainly, in the scriptures and in the liturgy, we are constantly commemorating the great acts of God, the ways in which God acted in the history of Israel, and even the story of the earthly Jesus is now come and gone. These momentous events out of which our own history has been constructed are certainly significant. But what's most significant about them is the impact they have on us today. I think of the tradition going back to Eckhart and even before to Augustine, in which they talked about the birth of the Word and the birth of the Word in a threefold way. The birth, of course, within the Trinity, the birth in history, but then the birth of the Word in our souls today. And they acknowledge that in a way, the most significant of these is the birth of the Word in our soul today. Because what good is it if the Word was once born within the triune God, begotten of the Father, or in history through the power of the Holy Spirit and Mary, if the Word is not born today? In other words, the importance of now as the day of salvation. Or often our minds may move simply to the future. I myself am one in terms of planning, live half my life, I suppose, in the future. The future, too, destiny, providence, has its impact on us, but it has its impact on us today as the present. I think in terms of someone like Teilhard, as well as many others, who talk about the power of the future and the importance of Omega, in the sense of direction and evolution, and the God who is coming, the God who is at hand, kingdom is here and yet also coming. But even when we ponder that power of the future, it's future in respect to you and me now. Now still remains the day of salvation. Sometimes we might put off till tomorrow, or we might think of, well, the moment of death, or there is still going to be time for. But the older we get, of course, we're aware that that time runs short, and that, again, what remains most important is today. Today is the day of salvation. In other words, in our preaching and in our hearing the word, we have to realize that the grace that is offered us today is not the same grace as yesterday and may not be the same grace that will be offered tomorrow. Now is the time to respond to the grace that God is offering us. Whatever that grace for today may be, whatever grace it is that we need to seize upon, whether it's the grace of conversion, whether it's the grace of gratitude, whether it's the grace of healing, what is the grace that comes to me today? And if I let it go, if I pass it by, may not return, or at least will not return, in the form in which it's offered today. If we live in the past rather than in the present with its impact from the past, if we live in the future without living in the present with our awareness of the future as having its impact as well, we're really living in the mind, because the past and the future don't exist. They are mental constructs. And thus we're living in the mind rather than in the spirit. But to live in the spirit is to live in the power of now, not simply in the way that some contemporary writers might think about it, although they have much constructive to offer us in terms of their insights, but more with the sense that as we enter into the present, live deeply a sense of presence to what is, of what is being what is, and being present to that, to others, to the graces of today. As we're present to that, we realize that as we enter more deeply into the power of now, we really are entering into the power of God, because it's God who is at the source of our continually being created and recreated lives. And so later in this same text from Paul to the Corinthians, after talking about the wide variety of hardships, the ways in which he's remained faithful, he refers to in the Holy Spirit and in the power of God. And so should we call it the power of now, or should we call it the power of the Spirit, or the power of God? Whichever expression we use, are we not talking about the same thing? Earlier, in the same second letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit is, there is freedom. When we live in God, in the Spirit, in the now, and living in the present, we are in contact with an incredible freedom. Is this perhaps the grace being offered us today? And when we imprison ourselves in our minds, or build prisons for us based upon the past and our past experiences, or whether we're in bondage to the future and what may be, we lose that freedom that the Spirit gives and that Christ came to offer us. And so indeed, freedom is the power that living in the present offers, the power of now, the power of the Spirit. Amen.